Hello and Namaskar. Welcome to yet another episode of 390's podcast. I am Aastha Shah, an intern at NGO 390. And with me, I have Ritika Sahani, the founder trustee of NGO 390. And we will be your hosts for today's podcast. We are happy to have with us a friend of 390, Dhruv Shirpurkar, for today's podcast. Dhruv was born with a rare genetic disorder called as Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which leads to progressive degeneration of muscles, leading to increasing disability. He currently runs a blog called as Perspective on WordPress.com and is also an amateur artist. He, of course, has been associated with 390, but also was a brand ambassador for the first wheelchair-accessible beach festival in India, conducted in Goa by Umoja in 2017. He currently resides in Thane, Maharashtra with his parents. He also has written a book called As Soles, about which we shall get to know more during the course of a conversation. It is an absolute pleasure to have you with us today, Dhruv. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Thank you for the kind introduction. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing really well as well. Thank you so much.
However well we can be in a very hot city like Mumbai.
Yeah, that's
where you also reside. All right. Lovely. So for the first question, Aastha has something important to ask, which is also important for her to know.
Right. So since the purpose of this podcast is primarily to educate our audiences about multiple disabilities, could you please tell us what is Duchenne's muscular dystrophy exactly? And what has it been for you to live with it so far?
Duchenne's muscular dystrophy is a rare genetic disorder that causes progressive degeneration of muscles. So this disease mainly targets the skeletal muscles, the muscles that help us move our body around, the muscles of the heart and the breathing muscles. So the progressive nature of the disease means that over time the muscles get wasted away, and this leads to increasing disability. The extent of the disability increases over time. And there are also other health complications due to the heart muscles being affected. So living with the disease has been a constant uphill battle, you might say. In the early years, I was not much aware of this. All I knew was that I'm a bit different from others, and I have to, go for physiotherapy and stuff. So it was mainly the early years were the struggle of my parents. Now later on, as I grew older, I started understanding things. I started using a wheelchair. I started realizing that people look at me differently. They treat me differently. And for me, more than the disease itself, that was an issue. But why am I being treated separately? In my mind, I'm just like others. Maybe a bit different. Yes, I have some problems, but a bit different. So that was a really disturbing part. But over time, because I met the right people, you can say, because for me, the whole journey has been so much worth the effort, because I met so many different people. Even in spite of the prejudices, the love that I got from so many quarters, right from the teachers in the school, the professors in my college, that is all what made it worth. Yes, there were challenges due to as the problems went on, I needed more assistance and everything, but that's all right. It's all a part of life.
We love your attitude, bro. Absolutely. We just love your attitude. And now that you've been so kind to the people who have who've been part of your journey, tell us more about that.
For me, how can I put it? To be honest, if you ask my parents, thing is that whenever some challenge came and they thought that, no, this is not possible anymore, some person somewhere, maybe some divine intervention, we can say, would come up and just help us out. For example, in my school, there were obviously various students from different backgrounds, and naturally they had never interacted with a disabled person before. And in our society is such that it is something that parents do not want their children to explore. They won't voluntarily tell them that yes, there are people with disabilities also, and that you should be cooperative and understanding towards them. So and also they, after all, I was small, they were also small. They were quite immature. And actually all students are. So in that phase there were a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of miscommunication. So some like in the school I would get certain concessions, like I would be allowed to come a bit late or given extra time in the exam. So a lot of students would have a problem. Why is he getting special treatment? Why is it so unfair? And that led to a lot of problems. So in this phase, not only the teachers helped, but most importantly, the school counselor helped us a lot. And not just because it's a part of her job profile, but she was involved very much personally into it. And she's still in touch. She still asks, how am I doing? And, you know, is always ready to help in any way she can. That's just one example. Then the teachers also. So whenever I go meet them after a few years to the school to meet them, they were practically in tears. They were so happy to see me. So, and it's always that.
You know, so all that you've said, Dhruv, makes it so clear. And I'm so glad you said all this, that irrespective of the disability, and in your case, as you said, it is a degenerative one. If you had to go to a regular school, inclusion is possible. People can move around and do the right things to make a person, to welcome the person into the classroom. And I'm sure your being there had sensitized others around just by your presence of being around there on the wheelchair. So it makes so much of a difference to have a leader of a school who understands that everybody has a right to education, who is able to provide the support that is required to see to it that inclusion continues, and you know, you suddenly don't leave school because it's not happening. So what a wonderful, what a wonderful story, I must say. At your age, you've been able to impact other people also. You know, it's just not other people who've helped you. The very fact that you've been there, you've also created an impact in other people's lives when you said that there were tears in their eyes. So they got something out of having you as a student in their school. That's fantastic. In fact, you answered so many questions for us, even without our asking, and I think that was perfect. So school life, and would it be the same for college life also, Dhruv? At college also, was it an equally easy process for you?
College was a bit difficult in the sense that a lot of our colleges are very old buildings. So naturally, they have accessibility issues. So I went to Kerkar Vase College in Mulund. That was okay. It was not inaccessible. There were ramps in most places. But what I found the problem was in the socialization aspect. So I don't think it's because of the institution itself, because of my disease. So a lot of time the students would go and sit in the canteen, and I would, you know, it would be very difficult for me to move from one place to another, because if I sit in the classroom, so I would attach a table and then make notes. But then someone would have to remove it and then I have to go in the canteen. But the canteen would be very crowded. So then again, I won't be able to move around there. So because of that, there were some issues. But again, the staff did all that they could do to help. The principal was very, very cooperative. He went out of the way many, many times on many, many fronts. He helped me. Yeah, write the foreword of my book as well. And also made many friends, and lifelong friends, I must say. So yes, they were a bit difficult. It was a bit more difficult, but again, it's what their difficulty.
That's what I said. It's a great attitude that you have, that though you have a country and colleges and infrastructure that is so inaccessible, and for audiences who are listening to us, we must understand that for most of us who are not disabled or maybe do not have any physical issues, accessibility makes things easier for us. But for our friends with disabilities, wheelchair users and other disabilities, accessibility makes things possible. So the only way it was possible for Dhruv to be in a canteen with hundreds of students is where if everybody realized that he's on a wheelchair, he requires that kind of a space, we require a ramp for him to maybe get out of his school and get a classroom and get onto the, whichever area that it's there in colleges. So the accessibility is something that really aids to even participation and socialization. But now that you've come to the question about the foreword for your book, Asta, let's go straight into that.
Definitely. Can you tell us, ever since we researched and we spoke about you, the both of us have been very interested about your book. So we understand that you've written a book called Solace. Could you tell us a little about your book?
So Solace is basically a collection of my articles that I... articles and poems that I wrote on my blog. So they trace my various experiences in life from childhood, school years, and also most of them are philosophical in nature. And the reason why I wrote this book was not really in the sense to make money or as a profession or to gain fame or anything. For me, it was important to share my experiences and ideas with others to inspire them and to help them live a more meaningful life. Like, even if one person is helped by my writing, then it is enough for me. So the idea, for me, putting the idea was more important. The idea of hope to inspire people to live, to get out of the darkness and the mundaneness of their life. And to do something different, see the, bright side. And that is what my book is about.
That is indeed very admirable. Could we request you to read a poem out of your book?
Sure, no problem. So, this poem is called Star. So, I'll read it now. A star, all bright and white. Lonely it shines in the sky, in the deepest darkness at the brightest hour. Lonely is its companion, on a journey stretching miles and miles, in vast emptiness on the canvas of the sky. A reminder of a long journey, of a time when we were together. As I've journeyed to find you, star of my life, yet sometimes I wonder if you are the same star, my only companion, on this journey towards you and to me.
That's beautiful, Dhruv. Thank you so much. How many poems do you have in Solace?
Quite a few. I must say 10, 15. At least 10, 15.
And is it available? Is it available for people to buy?
So I self-published a book because the going to the publishers was taking too much time and my help was not that supportive at that time. So, if anyone is interested, they can email me and I can courier the book to them.
Could you tell us your email ID?
My email is Dhruv Shirpurkar, DHRUVSHIRPURKAR@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. I think it only makes sense that people pick it up from you. How much does it cost? Pehle ye to batao.
It costs 300 rupees.
All right. Okay. Lovely. So it also, in your introduction, Asta also said that you're an amateur artist. And I asked her, I said, what do you mean by an amateur artist? She said, we'll ask Dhruv only. So Dhruv, tell us, when you say amateur artist, what does it mean?
I'm not a trained artist. And I was terrible at art in school. So only in lockdown recently when, I had nothing to do for quite some time, so I decided to start drawing because I love to draw art, but I was not good at it. So as I sort of did more and more and more, I sort of got good enough for my drawings to be considered, you know, decent, something nice. So when I say amateur artist, I can say that I love to draw and paint. I have made many such artworks. They are included in my book as well. But they are not my main focus of activity. It's like a side hobby, not a hobby, but side thing, not the main thing. That's why I use the word amateur. But I'm not a professional.
Okay. So, Dhruv, I got it. You are a wheelchair user. How do you, which means you are able to use your hands well to write and to draw?
Well,
I'm asking a question that might be there in the audience's mind.
I don't write as in physically write. So I use a mouse and use the virtual keyboard to type on the computer. And for drawing and artwork, I can move my wrist. So I can draw a bit and then the paper has to be moved or whatever has to be moved. So a little bit I can use my wrist to move the brush, move the pencil, and then I take someone's help to move the paper around. And slowly, and you know, mainly I use a small paper, small size bit to draw. And with their help, I can, with someone's help, I sort of go about doing it to make adjustments to move around.
So in college, did you take the help of a writer for your examinations?
Yes. So I needed a writer, somewhere around from 8th standard in school. Till then, I could finish my exams on time. But after that, slowly, I used to get very tired in the middle. So I could have finished the exams then. But a school counselor, Rushali ma'am, suggested that, see, in the 10th standard, the risk is too great. It should not happen that you know all the answers and you couldn't finish. So, and then you need to adjust with the writer. So she suggested to start right from 7th or 8th standard. So I would write half the exam. And then when I would feel tired, I would ask, like I would tell her, and then she would help me write the remaining part. So that's how I got acclimatized and then started using a writer.
I think this is a very, very, very interesting thing that people who want to use a writer, your counselor was absolutely right. It is so important to get used to having a writer write for you. So doing that from a class 7 or a class 8 makes sense rather than suddenly having a writer, you know, when you're going for an exam, so your board exams, because you need to, you know, the rhythm of both the person who's the writer and the person the writer is writing for, there has to be some kind of a synergy between the two. That's a very good advice that you've given. Dhruv, tell me, at this point of time, you live with your parents, and I suppose it is very obvious from all that you've said that though you've written poems and you are writing a blog and you're drawing, you are needing to have a caregiver with you to be able to facilitate doing things. Would that also mean, would that also mean daily living stuff, whether it is brushing or eating or, bathing? Do you require support there?
Yeah, all on all fronts. So I can do these activities, but I cannot lift my hand or anything like that. So I need someone to, bathe me, do my toiletry and feed me and then transfer me on the bed and everything. So all these years my parents were doing it. Now they are also getting old, so they're slowly, thinking of getting a professional, hire a caregiver.
Yeah. So, Dhruv, how do you see your life panning out now? How old are you now? That's the first question I should have asked you.
I'm 22.
You're 22 with a book, who's a published book. Are you planning to go back to higher studies? Are you planning to professionally
pursue writing?
She had a very interesting question about that. What was that?
Yeah, I had a question that, we've seen that most of the time that one has to wait for an extensive period of time to kind of get their books published, which we kind of answered by saying that he self-published it. But you really need to wait it out to see yourself and your book becoming successful. You need to wait it out. You need to have a lot of patience. You need to see it through. How do you see all of that panning out for you? Do you want to wait it out? Do you plan on publishing more books? Tell us something that's on your mind.
So, for me, what you're saying is absolutely correct. And I experienced it firsthand. I nearly waited for 2 years to try to get a publisher. But at one point, I was like, I can either wait and let my health continue to deteriorate or at least let me put my ideas out there till the time I can easily and with whatever tools that I have at my disposal. So yes, you are right. It takes time. So I'm planning to write more books, perhaps publish it on Kindle or somewhere where the upfront cost is less. But I just hope, fingers crossed, maybe perhaps some publisher might discover me. One never knows.
Absolutely. Why not? Yes. Life is unpredictable and life is magical, Dhruv. So anything is possible. And with the kind of attitude and spirit that you live with, anything is possible for you too. So lovely. Anything that you want to share with our audiences, questions that perhaps we may not have asked, something that you would like to tell our audience? You know, I think in a podcast, that's one thing that they don't get to see you. So I wish I could describe the fact that you are sitting on your wheelchair with a head. Is that a headdress? Yeah.
Not a headdress. The neck pillow for support.
With the neck pillow. You've got your headphones on. Why are you using a neck pillow? Is there a particular reason you're using the neck pillow?
I need a bit support to hold my head straight. It sort of starts falling on one side after some time.
Okay, so I think I'm glad I took that up, because I think the audiences should be able to get a mental image of you physically in your chair, because then they can relate to all that you're saying. And also appreciate the work that your parents have put in with you being here. The very fact that you are a self-advocate, that you are advocating for yourself and for people who have muscular dystrophy. There's so much effort that goes into it, and so much respect for your parents, both Mangesh and Rupa, since I know them personally. Please give them my regards. Any last minute advice, sharing, comment, anything that you want to, or maybe a poem. You can end with reciting another poem also. Why not?
So I would like to tell only one thing. For me, in all of this journey, now at this stage, how can I say? It's not about earning money or doing anything else. For me, it is more of a, because to be honest, this disease allowed me to think about certain things which I would never have ordinarily bothered to think about. And one of them is, why do I exist? Like, what is the purpose of life? Like, I am born now and I don't know, maybe, and everyone has to die one day. So, and this, you know, what's the purpose? What I'm going to say, like, achieve this, earn this much money, get, you know, this award, that award. But for what? And, you know, this is the sort of quest that I'm on, you can say, to find my true self, find the real purpose. And I'm guided. And so I'm more into spiritual thinking. So, you know, so I'm guided. So like this sort of happened, and you don't mind if I share, right?
Absolutely not. There are so many people who will relate to this. Please go ahead.
I was doing till my 10th standard was I was sort of on a mission, you can say, that, you know, I'm going to prove all those who say that I cannot do this, do that wrong. And at one point became such an obsession that I sort of was disconnected from the reality of the disease that I have. See, in the end, I can say I can do anything, but we cannot deny the limitation that the disease is putting. And I was so much in that flow that anyone said that, you know, maybe you should, perhaps should not do it. It's not like you might, your health might not take it. I like, no, hell with it, I'm going to prove you wrong. So even if the doctor said that, I'm saying, I'm going to prove the doctor wrong. So, you know, it had become madness. So what happened was, my mom was reading a book, you know, some spiritual topic. So there, she read about a certain Avatar Meher Baba in Nagar. So my mom was very curious. So we went there, after my 10th standard. We thought like this, my aunt and all of them decided to do sort of family picnic. And, she's all into these sort of things. So she took me there. So, the moment I went there, the feeling of bliss that I got, I can never forget. So as I read more of his works, more of his teachings, the more I started thinking. So the first result was I stopped doing things for others. They are going to say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Regardless of what you do, that's not how the society changes. It will take time. But in this process, why should I sacrifice? What can I say? My peace of mind. And then slowly, so I changed my stream to, I was planning to do engineering. And then I decided to economics instead. And then eventually, I was writing as a hobby, in this from my 8th standard. But then slowly it matured into something greater I have these many experiences. Why not share with others? And, that is the real source of change. The fighting it out won't do. Rather, what is inspiring people, showing them the right way, is the way of going forward, being about any change. And, in this process of self-discovery, you might say, I have realized this much, that inspiring others is more important than fighting them.
Thank you so much.
So that is the message.
Yes.
Definitely. That is quite admirable. We wish you all the very best on this newfound spiritual journey of yours. I think we've come to an end of our podcast. You've answered all our questions.
And more.
Very
yes.
Nicely. I'm sure our listeners will be very pleased with your fresh perspective and your outlook on life. Thank you so much for taking up the time to be a part of this. It was an absolute pleasure having you over here.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Thank you so much. Thank you.